So after the Bhagavatam class, some devotees asked me to show some pictures from my recent visit to Hungary. I gave some lectures at the college the devotees have there and spent Govardhan Puja at their Krishna Valley farm. So I have a few slides to show of that at the end. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text 4. Desha Kalochita Shraddha Dravya Patrarhanani Cha Samyag Bhavanti Naitani Vistara Sva Janarpana Desha Kalochita Shraddha Dravya Patrarhanani Cha Samyag Bhavanti Naitani Vistarat Svajanarpanat Desha Kalochita Shraddha Dravya Patrarhanani Cha Samyag Bhavanti Naitani Vistarat Svajanarpanat Desha Kalochita Shraddha Dravya Patrarhanani Cha Samyag Bhavanti Naitani Vistarat Svajanarpanat Kalochita Shraddha Anicha Samyag Bhavanti Naitani Vistarat Svajanarpanat Sakalochita Shraddha Savyat Varsharanani Cha Agbhavanti Naitani Vistarat Svajanartana Desha Kalochita Shraddha Anani Cha Agbhavanti Naitani Vistarat Svajanartana Desha Kalochita Shraddha Sarva Patra Anani Cha Samyag Bhavanti Naitani Sarat Svajanarpana Desha Kalochita Shraddha Dravya Patrarhanani Cha Samyag Bhavanti Naitani Vistarat Svajanardana Vaishnavis Desha Kalochita Shraddha Dravya Patra Hanani Cha Samyag Bhavanti Naitani Vistara Sajanatana Vishakala Chita Shadha Hanani Cha Bhavanti Naitani Istarat Svajanardana Desha Kalochita Shraddha Dravya Patrahanani Cha Samyag Bhavanti Naitani Istara Svajanarpana Desha Kalochita Shraddha Devya Patra Hanani Cha Samyag Bhavanti Naitani Istara Svajanarpana Desha Place Kala, time, uchita, proper, shraddha, respect, dravya, ingredients, patra, a suitable person, arhanani, paraphernalia for worship, cha, and samyak, proper, bhavanti, are, na, not, etani, all these, vistarat, due to expansion, svajana arpanat, or due to inviting relatives. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. If one arranges to feed many brahmanas or relatives during the Shraddha ceremony, there will be discrepancies in the time, place, respectability, and ingredients, the person to be worshipped, and the method of offering worship. Please repeat. If one arranges to feed many brahmanas or relatives during the Shraddha ceremony, there will be discrepancies in the time, place, respectability, and ingredients, the person to be worshipped, and the method of offering worship. Purport. Narada Muni has prohibited unnecessarily gorgeous arrangements to feed relatives or brahmanas during the Shraddha ceremony. Those who are materially opulent spend lavishly during this ceremony. Indians spend especially lavishly on three occasions: the birth of a child, at marriage, and while observing the Shraddha ceremony. But the Shastras prohibit the excessive expenditures involved in inviting many brahmanas and relatives, especially during the Shraddha ceremony. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So there are many reasons that Srila Prabhupada gives for the Shraddha ceremony. Many times in his purports and lectures, he mentions that people in the Vedic culture would offer this Shraddha ceremony on behalf of departed relatives, so that they would not be caught in ghost bodies. So, you know, according to the Vedic understanding, we have a gross physical body, we have a subtle material body made of mind, intelligence, ego, and subtle senses. And then there's the soul itself, which is the actual self. So at the time of death, what normally happens for a conditioned soul is that the soul and the subtle body leave the gross physical body. The gross physical body is destroyed, usually by cremation. And then based on the condition of the subtle material body, the soul is placed into another gross physical body. So sometimes it happens for various reasons, maybe because of excessive material attachment or because of dying in an improper way, such as by suicide, that a soul may remain in the subtle body without getting a gross physical body. And this is a very dangerous and unpleasant situation to be in. So one of the purposes that Srila Prabhupada gives for performing the Shraddha ceremony in Vedic culture is to make sure that if somehow or other a relative is in the condition of being in a ghost body, then the soul of that relative will get another gross physical body, because in the gross physical body, one has the opportunity to make spiritual advancement. So that's one reason that's given. In other places, Srila Prabhupada mentions that sometimes the souls of persons who want material enjoyment after death, you know, they go to Pitraloka, the planet of the forefathers, and there they enjoy heavenly pleasures. So in order to keep them there, keep the souls of departed relatives in that materially enjoying state, the relatives perform this Shraddha ceremony regularly each year. Sort of like, you know, if you've got a relative, you send them on vacation somewhere to some hotel in the Bahamas or something, and you've got to, if you want to keep them there, you have to keep paying their bills. So that's another reason that Srila Prabhupada gives in his purports why people in the Vedic culture would perform this Shraddha ceremony. Another reason is that normally a person commits, they perform pious activities, but they also perform sinful activities. And because of those sinful activities, they may have to go to a hellish planet. So by performing this Shraddha ceremony, the time that the person has to spend in the hellish planets can be reduced. So actually this is considered, according to, you know, the Karma Kanda version of Vedic culture, one reason why a person, a father, will have sons, desire to have sons, because the son is called Putra, which means the one who delivers the father from hell, because, you know, the son will perform the Shraddha ceremony on behalf of the relatives, the forefathers, and they will be delivered from hell, the hellish material planets, where they have to suffer for their impious activities committed during their earthly life. So, actually, Srila Prabhupada has said there's no need for a devotee who's practicing Krishna consciousness to perform Shraddha ceremony, because Krishna promises in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadhaman Pratyaja Mamakam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sarva Pape Bhyo Moksha Yashami Ma Suchaha. If one surrenders to Krishna, then Krishna removes all one's sinful reactions and responsibilities. One is no longer in debt to the demigods, to the forefathers, to anyone else. One is simply responsible to Krishna and Krishna's representatives. It's stated in the Narada Pancharatra and other shastras that if one becomes a devotee, then all their family members for many generations backward and many generations forward are delivered from any difficulties. However, although devotees of Krishna do not perform the Karma Kanda Shraddha ceremony, they are on occasion allowed to perform a Vaishnava Shraddha ceremony, which basically involves, according to Srila Prabhupada, offering foodstuffs to Vishnu and then taking the Vishnu prasadam, the remnants of the food offered to Vishnu first, offer that to the departed relative for their benefit. And basically it operates on the principle that by pleasing Vishnu, one benefits one's relative. So sometimes that is done. But in 1977, during Srila Prabhupada's last days in Vrindavan, his senior disciples were there. One of them was Swarup Damodar, who later became Swarup Damodar Maharaj, one of the founding members of the Bhaktivedanta Institute. And he had gotten a call from his relatives saying that his grandfather had died and they wanted him very much to come and help perform the Shraddha ceremony. And Swarup Damodar asked Srila Prabhupada, should I go? And Srila Prabhupada said, no, it's not necessary that you go. So, but sometimes we see that devotees do perform Vaishnava Shraddha ceremony on occasion in memory or in honor of some departed soul. But it's, according to Srila Prabhupada, it's not actually necessary. So there are some interesting things I found in going through the database about the Shraddha ceremony. There was one associate of Lord Chaitanya named Govinda Ghosh. He was a famous kirtan leader, and his brothers, Vasudev Ghosh, I think Madhava Ghosh, were also famous kirtan leaders. But this Govinda Ghosh was worshiping a deity of Krishna, Gopinath, called Gopinath. And he was just wondering, in terms of, he didn't have any children. He didn't have a son. So he was wondering, who is going to perform my Shraddha ceremony, Vaishnav Shraddha ceremony? So the deity appeared to him in a dream and said, well, don't worry, because you've been treating me like your son. You've been like a father to me, taking care of me in so many different ways. So I will perform the Shraddha ceremony for you. So Srila Prabhupada mentions in Chaitanya Charitamrita that to this very day in that temple in Bengal, there's a ceremony where the deity offers Shraddha to once a year to Govinda Ghosh. And there was another occasion where Srinivas Acharya was offering Shraddha to his relatives, and he was holding a big ceremony. And as part of the ceremony, he was chanting the Vishnu Sahasranam, the thousand names of Lord Vishnu. And Lord Chaitanya was present, so he was going through all the names. Srinivas Acharya was going through all the names of Lord Vishnu. And then when he came to the names of Lord Nrisimhadev and related names, then Lord Chaitanya suddenly underwent a transformation. He went into the mood of Lord Nrisimhadev, and his eyes became red, and he became very angry, and he picked up a club, and people were wondering, what's he going to do? But it's Srila Prabhupada explains that he kind of calmed down. And now there was another interesting incident with the Shraddha ceremony. It was at the time of Maharaj Ikshvaku, King Ikshvaku, who was the first king in the solar dynasty on Earth. And he was going to perform a Shraddha ceremony. So in previous ages, it was customary to offer flesh in a Shraddha ceremony. Of course, in the Srimad Bhagavatam here, we're going to read that, in text 7, like, a person fully, this is text 7 coming up, a person fully aware of religious principles should never offer anything like meat, eggs, or fish in a Shraddha ceremony. And especially in the age of Kali, it's one of the five things that are, that were allowed in previous yugas, but are definitely not allowed in the age of Kali. One of them was the horse sacrifice. The other was a cow sacrifice. There was the, if a woman couldn't have a child by her husband, the husband's brother might be allowed to impregnate the wife. And taking sannyas and this paitripalikam, offering of flesh, at a Shraddha ceremony. These things are absolutely forbidden in the age of Kali. And they're never really appropriate this offering of meat at a Shraddha ceremony is never really appropriate for a real Vaishnava. But in this particular case, the Ikshvaku asked his son to go out. I think his name was Vakukshi. to go out into the forest and hunt, because that's how it had to be done. And then only a Kshatriya was allowed to hunt. Now these days, Srila Prabhupada said, everybody's hunting. Anybody can go out and buy a gun and go in the forest and kill animals. But normally that wasn't allowed. Only Kshatriyas were allowed to hunt. And they could kill certain types of animals to be used in sacrifice. But this son of King Ikshvaku, when he was out hunting, he got a little bit hungry and tired, and he kind of lost his sense. So he ate a little bit of a rabbit that he had killed for the sacrifice. And he brought all the flesh back to Ikshvaku, who gave it to the sage Vasishta. But Vasishta could tell that it had been contaminated, that the Vakukshi had taken a little bit of it. So Ikshvaku banished his son from the kingdom, you know, for that offense. So on Lord Chaitanya himself, you know, went to Gaya to offer Shraddha, the Shraddha ceremony, to his father. And actually, when you go to Gaya, which is the place, the favorite place for performing this ceremony, you perform it not just once, but there are different places in Gaya where there are different Brahmins, and you kind of go around and you offer many different times. So Lord Chaitanya did that to show an example, but also he was going there to take initiation from Ishvara Puri. So after his last Shraddha ceremony, he was cooking, preparing a meal for himself, and Ishvara Puri just happened to come in. And Ishvara Puri said, "Oh, I see I've arrived at a good time." You can just imagine, you know, you walk into some devotee's place and they're just getting ready to serve a big meal. And you think, well, this is really a nice time for me to have arrived. So Lord Chaitanya said, "Oh, you're a great saintly person. I'm going to offer you this whole meal." And Ishvara Puri said, "Then what are you going to do for yourself?" "I'll cook later," Lord Chaitanya said. "I'll cook separately for myself." And Ishvara Puri said, "Well, why go through all that trouble? Why not just divide the offering in two and we'll share it?" And Lord Chaitanya said, no, you take the whole thing." And then according to Chaitanya Bhagavat, the goddess of fortune, Rama Devi, personally came and cooked another meal for Lord Chaitanya. Then the next day it's explained, Lord Chaitanya asked for initiation from Ishvara Puri. Of course, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't require initiation or to offer sacrifices or any of that, but as part of his lila, he did these things. So I'll stop there about the verse. Does anybody have any questions or comments about the verse? This may take a little time to warm up. So last week I got back from a visit to Hungary. I stayed at the ISKCON temple there, and they have as part of the temple a college. You know, it's approved by the government of Hungary, and this is the college building. And, you know, the students, they've got about 200 students that go to the college. They give degrees in Vaishnav theology and yoga. And these are like four-year degrees. And, you know, the students who go there to get the degree in yoga, you know, they have to attend classes, you know, years of classes in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. And, you know, they get fully trained in the Krishna consciousness philosophy in addition to their yoga practice. And then, as I said, they also offer a degree in Vaishnava theology. So the students are, you know, they get grants from the government to go there. You know, the government gives a yearly budget to the college. It's a pretty amazing project, and the students take their meals at the Govinda's restaurant in the temple. Pretty amazing. So, you know, I gave lectures at this college about, you know, my work and other things. And then for Govardhan Puja, I went to their farm community, which is called Krishna Valley in southwest Hungary. And this is the entrance to Krishna Valley. And, you know, they have about, you know, 200 men, women, children living in nice homes in Krishna Valley. It's all off the power grid. And they grow all their own food, practically 95% of their own food. And it's a very amazing place. But I was there for Govardhan Puja. And this is the temple building at Krishna Valley. And, you know, they had an Abhishek for Govardhan Shila, you know, that they have there. And then after that, they took the Govardhan Shila by an ox cart to their Goshala. And, you know, they have a very nice palatial Goshala there. The cows kind of get really first-class treatment. You know, they have a lot of space for cows and bulls. They grow all their own food for them. And, you know, this is the inside of the Goshala, you know, where they have the cows. And the cows provide milk, which is distributed to the Hare Krishna temples in Hungary. As I mentioned, they have a policy that at their temples, at least at the temple in Budapest where I was staying, that they prepare all the milk preparations that they have, or any of the butter or ghee or yogurt or whatever that they use, comes from these cows, and they don't buy any other milk. And so that means if they don't have enough of the milk, they kind of go vegan, sort of. So that's their official policy at the temple. For individual devotees, they can do as they like, but whatever they offer the deities or serve in the restaurant or distribute to the devotees from the temple kitchens is done like that. So, of course, the stars of the Goshala are the little calves, which everybody really loves. And in the Goshala, they had, you know, the Govardhan Shila, they made some offerings there. And there was Go Puja, worship of the cow. And then from there, we went on a procession. Like, they have their own little Govardhan Hill on the farm. And we went on procession to their Govardhan Hill and circumambulated. There's Krishna holding, you know, Govardhan on his hands, you know, to shelter the residents of Vrindavan. So we circumambulated their little Govardhan Hill. And then we went back to the temple. This was the most amazing thing. They offered like 2 tons of sweets to the deities. I mean, every possible sweet or cookie or samosa that you could imagine. You know, all the, you know, each, you know, the devotees from each temple in Hungary, you know, brought, you know, just huge amounts of sweets. And the whole front of the temple was set up with these platforms, you know, covered by nice cloth, where they offer to Radha Shama Sundar this. I mean, it's really kind of impressive, just stacks and stacks of every type of sweet you could imagine. So in Hungary, the devotees don't go hungry. Haribol. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.